Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Our text for this morning is at verse 4. Again, it is the Shulamite who is speaking. Today they're called the Shulamite or the bride of the beloved. And she says, "My beloved, put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him." My subject this morning is stirring a slumbering saint. Stirring a slumbering saint. The life of the Christian consists of a series of revivals, personal revivals. When under the influence of our first love, we were full of zeal and enthusiasm for the things of God and determined never to forget the Savior. With a heart full of love, we wanted to know more about the one who laid down his life and the one who saved us from all of our sins. Diligently reading our Bibles every day, and where possible would have attended meetings every night if meetings were going on. But then, by and by, the fires of zeal and enthusiasm didn't burn so brightly, and coldness engulfed our hearts. And the words of David have no doubt often being prayed when any saint is in such a condition. David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Psalm 51, verse 12. Then, perhaps, at a special meeting that we attended, or because of the message we heard preached, the joy returned, the coldness disappeared, and we were revived again, as it was in the days of our first love. Every Christian who has been on the Christian pathway for any length of time will know exactly what I'm speaking about. It is an all too common complaint that believers suffer from. And the portion of scripture we read this morning and we have before us illustrates just exactly what we've been saying. The Song of Solomon, there are two principal characters. There is the beloved who speaks out to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is his bride, or she's called the Shulamite. She speaks to us of the believer. So the two principal characters in the Song of Solomon is Christ and his church. Christ and the believer. And here we find the Shulamite is slumbering. Her beloved is knocking at the door. He's seeking to gain entrance that he may once again enjoy fellowship with the Shulamite. She was in love with him. We're willing to read those few verses. In the chapter 3, Now we read in verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. So she's expressing her love for her beloved. I sought him, but I found him not. And she rose up and went about the streets of the city, the broad ways. She says, I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, the watchmen, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go. There's no doubt she was in love with her beloved. She said, I held him, and I would not let him go. But when we get to chapter 5, things have changed. Things have changed considerably. There is the bride of the Shulamite. She's in her dwelling. She's slumbering in her bed. Outside the door of her dwelling is her beloved. He's seeking to gain an entrance. She had no desire to open the door. The one who said a short time before, when I held him, I would not let him go, he whom my soul loveth. And yet now he's at the door of her home and shall not even disturb herself to get out of her bed and go and open the door and admit him. That is until one thing happened. And we have it there in our text. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him, and I rose up and opened to my beloved. And there you have the stirring of a slumbering sin. That's what I want to consider this morning. A slumbering sin. A sin that has grown indifferent to the things of God and has no real desire to fellowship and commune with their Savior, showing no real evidence of grace in their lives. They need to be stirred. First of all, I want to consider the slumbering Shulamite. After being with her beloved and declaring her love for him and enjoying fellowship with him, things have changed. Notice her coldness. Her coldness. We read, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. And then she replies, she says, I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? Here she's making excuses for not going to the door and opening to her beloved. Here you have an example of her coldness, her spiritual coldness. Formerly, she would have wasted no time upon hearing the voice of her beloved. She would have arisen and run to the door. But her love has grown cold. All she wants to do is to sleep and to slumber. Now for her. Think of it. Sleep is more important than spending time with her beloved. And remember, beloved is Christ. The Shulamite represents the Christian. And here you have a picture of the Christian. And they're more concerned about sleep and slumbering than about having fellowship with their beloved, with the Lord Jesus. Remember, this was just a short time after she said, I sought him and I found him and I held him and I would not let him go. And you get to chapter 5 and it's all changed so quickly. Just two years after the 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. 1857, four men, led by a man called Jeremiah Manila, met every Friday night in an old schoolhouse in a place called Kells and Connor. There was an open fire, and they would keep the fire burning, they'd throw turf on the fire, and they'd get down on their knees to pray for revival. Pray for 2 years. And by 1859, there were 40 or 50 men in that schoolhouse praying for revival. Revival broke out. It's estimated that over 100,000 souls were swept into the kingdom. Churches were crammed. People couldn't get in the church building. They had to open the windows, let people stand outside and listen to the preaching of the word. Prayer meetings went on all over the province. I came into the possession of Jeremiah Manili's dairy. I wish I had it today. But I remember reading through his diary of those days of the 59 revival and the days following. And you get to his diary and 2 years after the revival, he's lamenting in his diary the chains that he sees amongst God's people. Not as zealous, not as so much out and out for the Lord. 2 years. 2 years after the move of the Spirit of God in revival blessing. It's so common. We've been revived at a meeting. You go to a convention. And there's great preaching and great singing. And we're stirred up. And we promise ourselves we'll go on with God and we'll live for God and no one else. And then it seems to be a short time later. We lapse into our old ways. And we need to be stirred again. So it was with the Shulamite. Her beloved stood knocking at the door, but she was more interested in sleep. How sad is that case? See her coldness then. This picture as far as her carelessness. Was the Shulamite not behaving in a careless manner? Her beloved, the one whom she professed to love, was at the door. She heard his voice. But she enjoyed her slumbers. How careless. What if he withdrew himself and didn't visit her again? That would be a mark of carelessness. Her slumbers would prove very costly if that were so. Love for slumber proved very costly for others. You turn please to Matthew. chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. While he slept, he was careless. He wasn't watching out for the enemy. And while he slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. He was careless. Another example of that is Matthew 25. Turn there to Matthew 25, verse 3. Verse 1 we might read, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Listen. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And then the foolish went away to look for oil, and by the time they got back, the door was shut. They were shut out. Careless, careless, oh how careless they were. They didn't bring oil for their lamps. And there they waited for the bridegroom, and while they waited, they slept and they slumbered. And when the bridegroom arrived, they went away to get oil. But it was too late by the time they returned. Believer, we cannot afford to be careless in our dealings with our beloved. We must be alert to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and to the voice of our beloved. When the Lord speaks, we need to respond. We cannot afford to be careless. One who seeks fellowship and communion with us, let us respond to that voice, like the voice that knocked at the door of the Shulamite woman. These words speak to us of her coldness, speak to us of her carelessness, speak to us of her comfort. I think that's plain enough. The bride was reluctant to rise up and open the door to her beloved. Why? She was too comfortable. She slumbered. She was too comfortable. She was too comfortable. Even with her beloved knocking at the door, still she was comfortable. It didn't bother her. It didn't trouble her that the one she professed to love was at the door. She was not having fellowship with him, but that didn't trouble her. She was comfortable with that. She was cold and hard toward her beloved, and she was comfortable with that. She kept them standing outside in the cool night air for a prolonged period of time. And listen, she was comfortable with that. Didn't trouble her. Does this not highlight the cold, careless attitude of some toward the Lord? There's no burden for prayer, but they're comfortable with that. There's no burden for souls, but they're comfortable with that. There's no burden for holiness of life, but they're comfortable with that. Is there not a need to pray with Ezra? Ezra prayed that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For my, when believers are comfortable with being in a backslidden state and being comfortable with being cold in heart, boy, how they need to be revived. No burden for souls. No burden for revival. No burden for the Lord's work. And being comfortable with the bridegroom or the Shulamite was comfortable, lying there in her bed while her beloved was at the door. Didn't bother her. As well as the slumbering Shulamite, we notice that now the stirring of the Shulamite. The Shulamite woman begins to awake. She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She begins to awake from her slumbers. We see what it was that stirred her. Verse 2 again. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice. That's what stirred her. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. The voice of her beloved. That's what caused her to begin to be stirred. Notice here, regarding her stirring, notice his appeal. His appeal. He appeals to her to be stirred up and come to the door and open to him. How often has that been experienced? Been our experience? We've heard the voice of the Lord. We've recognized it as the voice of the Lord. Not the voice of the preacher. He preaches the word, but we have heard the voice of the Lord speaking to us. The word of the Lord has come to us, and we have recognized it. That's the voice of the Lord speaking to me. Surely there have been those times when we've recognized the voice of the Lord as the word has been preached. We've gone out of the meeting and we've whispered to ourselves, you know, the Lord spoke to me the other day. We praise the Lord for that. The Lord spoke to me today. I recognized the voice of the Lord. Perhaps revealing some shortcoming in our lives, perhaps exposing some sin in our lives and in our hearts. Perhaps revealing to us more of what we ought to be. Just as Paul said to the believers in Galatia, Paul said, "Ye did run well." Similar to the plight of the Shulamite. "Ye did run well. You ran after your beloved, and when you found them, you put your arms around them and said, I held them and I would not let them go. Ye did run well." Paul goes on to say, "Who did hinder you?" In other words, Paul has said, you're not running well now, you Galatians believers. "Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" See? They were comfortable with not obeying the truth of God's word. Through Paul, the Lord has spoken to the Galatians, endeavoring to stir them up and to get, as it were, in the right path again. No, that's not what we want. Every time we hear the word, it's not a case of coming, we've pointed out many times before, and sitting and being comfortable and have our ears tickled, as it were. Or having that, we mentioned the other week, the warm, fuzzy feeling. Don't we want to be shown from God's word what we ought to be? And are there sin in our lives? Don't we want it exposed? That we might get it, confess it, and put it under the blood. So she heard the voice of her beloved. She slumbered. It was the voice of her beloved that began to stir her up. His appeal, his argument. Hearing the voice of her beloved at the door ought to have been enough to stir her and go and open the door just to hear his voice. Especially when we consider how he used such terms of endearment when he addressed her. When he called, she heard him say, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my perfect one." There you have, regarding his argument, there you have his words. This sets forth the tenderness of the beloved. And the beloved being a type of Christ, it sets forth for us the tenderness of our dear Savior in trying to rouse the Christian from their slumbers and have them again enjoy his society. We see here the multiplied terms of endearment. My sister. My love. My dove. My undefiled, my perfect one. No, he didn't scold her. He didn't rebuke her. Isn't that how the dear Savior operates with us? Isn't that how he dealt with Peter? Peter, who denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Peter and six other disciples went back to the fishing. And the Lord came and met with them on the shores of Galilee. And after he told them where to fish and caught many fish, what did he say to them? Did he say, "You bunch of traitors"? No. He said to each of them, "Come and dine." And he had food prepared. And he had a fire burning. And he said to Peter and the others, "Come and dine." He used words of endearment. Peter and the others believed and felt their ministry was finished. They went back to their own life, went back to fishing. But the Lord said to them, "Come and dine." And then to Peter, "You're called," he said, "feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter, I still have work for you to do." Oh, is not so typical of our dear Savior, how he deals with us. When he would have every right to rebuke us, instead, he says, "Come and die." As well as his words, you have his willing. It is evident that the Shulamite had kept the beloved willing outside her door for some considerable time. Because what does he say? He says, "My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night." He had been there for some time. Surely that condemns the Shulamite all the more. He had been knocking. He had been calling. But she lay on. She slept on. She slumbered on. So it had been some time since she had been with him. Some time. His head was wet with the dew of the night. He hadn't gone home. He stood there all through the night, as it were, striving with her to open the door. "My sister, my love, my dove, my undefined, my perfect one." But she slept on. She was comfortable. Comfortable with leaving her Lord, her beloved, outside the door all night. How long has it been since we have been in deep fellowship with our beloved? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart felt no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for your soul? Those things come through close communion and fellowship with the Lord. The Shulamite woman was not enjoying that. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now hear the words of Paul. Paul says in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 5, "You're all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, because you're children of light, because you're not of the darkness, therefore Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us ever be watchful. Paul speaking about spiritual sleep. As well as the appeal and his argument, we notice his appearance. His appearance. Amazingly, after the Shulamite heard the appeals and the argument from her beloved, she gave an excuse. Why? She shouldn't rise up from her slumber, and why she shouldn't open the door. Is this unbelievable? He's been standing there all night. She's heard his voice. She's heard how he addressed her. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And when she does rise up, or think about rising up, what does she say? I have put off my coat. This was her response. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defy them? In other words, she couldn't be bothered. That was her plight. She's so fond of her bed of slumber, she couldn't be bothered. And she gave these excuses. How can I put my coat on again? You think of it. What is it in putting on a coat? What is it in putting on a pair of slippers or a pair of shoes and going and opening the door? But that was her excuse. Does this not show just how cold in heart she was? She wouldn't even put on her coat or on her shoes to open the door to her beloved. So what would it take to move her? What would it take? She's heard his voice. She's heard him call her his sister, his love. She's heard all the terms of endearment. What would it take for her to open the door? Well, verse 4 tells us, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him, and I rose up and opened. So that's what it took. You think of it. I rose up and opened to my beloved. This is so true. This is so true. Words can be spoken. Exhortations can be given. Appeals can be made. With little movement of the slumberer, what is needed? To stir up the slumbering believer, to stir up the slumbering saint, is a view of Christ. All she needed to see was his hand in the doorway. And you think of the hand of the Lord Jesus, and we were to look at the hand of Christ today, what would we see? We would see hands with the print of nails in them. And I tell you, there's nothing stirs the heart, stirs the soul, like a view of our crucified Lord. Believers here, remember, years ago, did a family attend every time at the Lord's table. There's one man in particular. When we were at the Lord's table and I spoke a word about the sufferings of Christ, Peter always wept. He always wept. Bless him. He could see by faith Christ and the suffering Lamb of God, and that moved him. And for the slumbering sin, what they need is a view of Christ on the cross, his wounds, his agony, his suffering. That'll move the hardest heart. And the Shulamite was moved when she saw nothing but his hand at the door. With the slumbering Shulamite, with the stirring, the stirred Shulamite, finally you have the seeking Shulamite. A great change took place in the attitude of the Shulamite from slumbering and indifference to her beloved. Now she seeks him. She wasn't doing that a short time before. Notice her preparation. Look at verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hand dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. There was her preparation. Her love has been stirred up now. What does this remind us of? These sweet spices and the myrrh, sweet and smelly myrrh. I'll tell you what it reminds us of. That woman we read about in Luke 7, who, when she knew the Lord was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, she entered in, stood behind him, and anointed the Lord with sweet spices, and wept so profusely she was able to wash his feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair. And the Lord told the Pharisee, see, the person who's forgiven much loves much. And the Lord was saying to this woman, or to the Pharisee, this woman loves me and loves me much. And here you have the Shulamite, and she's preparing spices for her beloved. An indication again, her love has been revived. The preparation. But then you have the pain. For we read in verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. There's the pain. This teaches us never to hesitate or delay when the Savior shows his willingness to come near and commune with us. Always respond immediately to the promptings of the Savior. lest he withdraws himself and is gone. And we miss out on his fellowship. And miss out on his friendship. And miss out on his communion. For we don't know how long. Until he comes and calls us again. Always respond immediately to the promptings of the Savior. You have our preparation, you have our pain. But that led to something. It led to her pursuit. For you read in verse 6, I opened to my beloved. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him. There's the difference. Before she couldn't even go to the door. When she heard his voice, she's too fond of sleep and too fond of slumbering. But now, again, as a result of seeing his hand, she rises up, and while her beloved has withdrawn himself, is gone, nevertheless, she's been prompted to seek him. Seek him. And she did find him, for we read in verse 3 of chapter 6, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. She's in love again with her beloved. Stirring a slumbering saint. I trust we have learned much from this incident in the Song of Solomon. And we'll apply it to our hearts. May the Lord bless his word to us today. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear loving and eternal Father, we thank thee for the word of God. Lord, how the word teaches us. Even Lord, when thou dost come and speak gently to us and even rebuke us, it's always done in love by thee, Lord. We pray that we'll be that obedient saint. We'll respond to the voice of our beloved. We'll respond to a view of our crucified Lord. And tell him afresh today, my Jesus, I love thee. Dear Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Bless us throughout this thy day. Lord, return us to thy house this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.